Okay, now we find her grave. I have to go down that stump. Okay, we need to take a right here. Gotta walk right up here to where it says Humphreys.
Yes, we are in a cemetery. Though it's almost Halloween, we aren't here for a ghost tour. Well, not really. My guide is Libby Wheeler, historian and member of the 20th Century Book Club. The club marked its 100th anniversary last month, and to celebrate, club members placed flowers on the graves of four founding members, all of whom happened to be buried in Evergreen Cemetery in Fayetteville.
Okay, and I believe she is going to be right here. Mary J. Bocock Willis. She died in 1937. She was the really initiator of the book club, and she was married to a Presbyterian minister. And they were in Searcy.
She founded the Searcy Institute for Young Women. When she moved to Fayetteville with her husband, she was astounded that there wasn't a book club, a women's study group, because there were in other places, even in Arkansas.
And I think the reason was because the university was here and it had a library and there were other intellectual outlets for women maybe that weren't available in other towns. And she, along with three other women, founded the book club. Now, she was president from 1912 to 1916, and then she and her husband went to North Carolina.
She rejoined in 1936 for 1 year before she died. The purpose of the group is book study with some altruistic work. More on that in a bit. The 20th Century Club held its first meeting in September of 1912, meeting twice a month in people's homes. The first three books they researched were Tennyson's Idylls of the King, Thomas More's Utopia, and Henry VIII by Shakespeare.
And that took all year to do, though, meeting twice a month, because they had study questions, and people were assigned research projects to do relating to the period of that Thomas More lived in, and little sketches of Wolsey and other figures of the period. And it was very serious.
So serious, in fact, that there was a very strict roll call. Barbara Taylor, another member of today's book club, tells more.
People would often respond with a relevant quotation or a fact that related to the reading that was done. And this was beyond their assignments, which were more in-depth research on topics related to the book.
So, like, they would say, Libby Wheeler, and then...
Yes, and
you would respond.
I would give an example for the Tennyson book of chivalrous experiences of that period or something.
We walk to the northwest corner of Evergreen Cemetery. The other three founders are conveniently buried near one another.
Okay, on the left over here, we are looking for Lessie Stringfellow Reed. And Lessie was... a columnist and, was she the editor, Barbara?
Yes.
She was the editor and columnist of Roundabout Town for the Democrat, which was the predecessor to the Northwest Arkansas Times.
Lessie came to hold national office in the National Federation for Women's Clubs, working as their editor. The women's club movement at the time was a tremendously powerful force, socially and politically. Lessie Stringfellow Reed was a very unique person. In addition to being a newspaper woman, she was also a spiritualist. Adopted, Lessie was named after a brother, Leslie, who died as a young adolescent.
And they had seances at their house every night. They used Ouija boards. They did, you know, a number of things that to us seem quite outré. But at the time, perhaps not so much so. For example, one of the people that they became acquainted with and formed a friendship with was Robert Louis Stevenson, who was himself into spiritualism and the occult, if you will. But in the case of the Stringfellows, it was very much an effort to recapture their lost son and to stay in touch with him.
A bit of an eccentric, Lessie was strong-minded and smart. Plus, she had quite the book collection. The next 20th Century Book Club founder we visit is Lila Davis Pearson.
Mrs. Pearson.
She grew up in Sulphur Springs in Benton County, and again, loved books. She was a Sunday school teacher at the First Christian Church in Fayetteville. It was the First Baptist Church in Fayetteville for 50 years and organized the Evergreen Cemetery Association. Her husband was a practicing attorney.
Interesting fact, the Pearsons adopted a young boy from the orphan train when it came through Fayetteville. There are still Pearsons practicing law in Fayetteville today. In fact, it was Mrs. Pearson's daughter who found the club's old yearbooks, which list the books and members for each year. We make our way to the fourth and final founder's grave.
Okay. Laurie Hughey was a speech teacher in Ohio, a young woman, very attractive. Her parents moved to Fayetteville, and she came to visit them, and she met Mr. Charles Appleby, who was a pioneer in the canning industry in this town.
The Applebys actually bought and restored the old Tibbetts house, the headquarters house. The club held many meetings there, even planting a tree in the yard. When the club was formed back in 1912, dues were a dollar, augmented by fines for tardiness, for not appearing at all, and there were big fines if you did not fulfill your duties. Fines have long since gone by the wayside, but there are still dues. The dues help the club perform their altruistic work. In addition to the four founders, there were eight charter members, one of which was the first librarian at Fayetteville Public Library, a benefactor of the club's charitable endeavors.
In the minutes of 1919, the club had a $25 annual pledge to the library, and that continues today. It's a little more than $25, but not a whole lot.
And we started folding KUAF into our lists of organizations and that we would support.
And the Ozark Society, because we had members Lois Emhoff and Maxine Clark, who were very interested in saving the Buffalo River, and the International Exchange for Students that we've contributed to.
And Headquarters House was, again, one of the...
And I think we contributed $25 to the fence to put around Evergreen Cemetery to protect our heritage.
Because this is not a real fence.
Though they maintain the charitable heritage, the 20th Century Club is run just a bit differently. Life is much more hectic than it was 100 years ago. The club meets just once a month now, and only in the months September through May.
We don't study as much as we used to. In fact, there's been a real evolution in the way the club works, and it's been an evolution in the direction of informality. It used to be that books were assigned to members, and a little bit later, members were allowed to choose the books they reviewed, but they had to be approved
by a committee.
Yes, approved by a committee. And in alternate years, we either act as hostess, that is, the club meeting is at our home, and we prepare tea and coffee and dessert for the group, or we review a book, and the book that we choose is pretty much up to us.
But to mark the club's 100th year, the books to be read this year were chosen a bit differently.
This year, we are because it's our centennial year, choosing a book from each decade of our history. Well, almost a decade. We don't have quite enough months to do it in. And our first review this year was All Quiet on the Western Front, a book from World War I, which was a wonderful review.
And through history.
And the first... fiction book that that was reviewed in the club was, I think, in 1919, The House of Mirth.
Did you notice that Libby and Barbara both are saying review? See, unlike most book clubs, only one person is required to read the book. Then they report on that book to the group. Unusual, but that doesn't mean that there isn't discussion or opinions. This year, Barbara will be performing the April review, reading Reinventing Womanhood by Carolyn Halbrin. It's from the 1970s and 80s. Libby won't be reviewing this year, though she did research and produce the club's history, which was an important job. It's the first few pages of the club's centennial member book. Each of the 24 members, see, they have a limit to membership. New members must be voted in. Each of the 24 is highlighted in this special yearbook, given the opportunity to tell about themselves and why they joined and loved the 20th Century Book Club. Here's Barbara.
I think that we wanted to join partly because of the members, because they're so interesting, the women who are members. And they really are in many, many ways. And it's a very congenial group. I think we like each other. We like getting together. We enjoy our monthly meetings and look forward to them.
So. Both Barbara and Libby, like most of the women of the club, are very involved in the community. As we are in the 21st century, no longer the 20th, there was some discussion about changing the club's name. But they decided they were very happy celebrating their roots. Obviously, they're interested in history. So the name remains. The club also maintains its original motto.
Esse cum videre, esse quam videre, which means to be but not to seem to be.
And in other words, to be genuine, to be real, not to pretend to be something other than what you are. So they were very down-to-earth women in many ways, too.
To be intellectual if you want to be, or to be have good women friends, but not to flaunt it and still be the mother and wife that was expected at that time.
The 20th Century Book Club celebrates its 100th anniversary this year. I spoke with members Libby Wheeler and Barbara Taylor at Evergreen Cemetery earlier this month.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums, and this is the fundraiser, the on-air fundraiser portion of our fall fundraiser for 2012. Amazing to think of a book club around 100 years.
100
now.
Years, I
know. And knowing the first books, and I think it helps us know as Richard White, the historian who was on the program Monday, said, it so helps us know who we are now if we know more about who we were. We have not been around 100 years at KUAF.
No, 30.
Ish. Well, KUAF itself nearly 40. But as an NPR station, late 80s is when we became an NPR station. And because of support from listeners like you, we have grown and we have established a daily local program called Ozarks at Large, as well as added Talk of the Nation and increased our power. All of those things have happened and continue to happen because of your support. The biggest part of our budget comes from you.